Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Baltimore, I'm coming home. We're going to wrap the Live and Alive tour up Saturday, June 28th at the Horseshoe Casino. It's going to be a great night. I got Justin Schlegel from 98 Rock going to be out there with me. We're going to have some surprises. It's going to be a really big deal. Get your tickets now at RyanSickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pants Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Look, we're just going to jump into it today. I promote stuff all the time, but I'm just going to say thank you guys for supporting everything we do over here. And I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. I'm very excited to have this guest back on the Honeydew, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Chappelle Lacey.
Yeah.
Welcome
back to the Honeydew, Chappelle. Yes, Lacey. I'm here.
Highlight your lowlights.
Highlights and lowlights.
But I before love we pod. Do,
yes,
please promote everything you like. Tell them about your special that's yes. out now. Congratulations. Yeah,
a 30-minute comedy special out now on YouTube through Don't Tell Comedy. It's called Three Dads, Two Moms.
Too true.
Yeah, too true.
Three
yeah,
dads,
yeah,
yeah, two right. moms, yeah, yeah, yeah. too true.
It's out. I loved everything I did with it to build up for that, all that stuff. And I have tour dates. Where will I be? ChappelleLacey.com is where you'll find that. And I'll say them after. I can't remember exactly right now. But yeah, I think that's all I have for right now.
Where can they find you on socials and all that?
Socials at Chappelle Lacey.
All your dates are there everything. And everything.
All dates are there. Literally everything's there.
I want to ask you a question, comic to comic here. You said a 30-minute special.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel the need to put a time disclaimer on it? And if so, why?
I don't know. I don't even know why I said it. It's
I'm
a
curious.
Special. I don't know. I don't know.
It is a special.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. You know, this is why. This is why. I think it's just because of that old mentality of like, remember like Comedy Central Presents? That'd be like your 30-minute special. And then like HBO or
somewhere. Half hour on Comedy Central. Then they did the hour.
Hour, yeah.
But what people may not know, a lot of people are savvy enough though, but an hour on network television back then was about 44 minutes.
Roughly, yeah.
And a half hour was 22 because you got the commercials and stuff. So it's neither of them are really hour or an hour.
You're right.
I know. And the hour from HBO and those things come because there were people sitting in a room going, the fuck can we do with this 60 minutes right here? And they create an hour.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They create an hour. The show at a club is not meant for the comic. It's meant for the establishment to sell drinks, to sell food, to get their checks paid and everything before the clowns get off the fucking stage. So what
Because Raw was in the movies, right? Anywhere from Raw?
Oh, yeah. I went and saw that in the theater.
That was
in the theater.
So that was like, you saw an actual,
saw an actual.
You're right.
But what I'm saying is, like, I saw.
That's crazy you saw that in theater.
In the theater, bro. And let me tell you something. I promise you, I didn't go to the white suburb theater. We went to Randallstown. Look it up. Randallstown, Maryland, Baltimore County. Went to the theater off Liberty Road.
Really?
You guys were
the only white dudes there.
Listen, it was me and my friend Matt Schilling.
Uh-huh.
And his mom dropped us off.
Ooh.
And we went in and saw, she went with us to Rocky in that theater. Rocky okay, was yeah, wild in that yeah, theater yeah, too. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Rocky IV, to be specific. And I'll never forget, because that's what I learned. Like, black people like to talk in the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's
yeah.
all black people and like us over here in the corner. And he was training in Russia. And then Adrian yeah. showed up and they were all like, don't do it, Rock. You're going to fucking try. I swear to God. I swear, Chappelle, I'd never in my life. We started laughing. So I'm like, oh my God, it's true. It really is true. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah, people are laughing too. They weren't See, even you, mad. You they got, were like, got, shut the fuck up.
You
they
got
were
the laughing. The true movie, black movie
Telling
experience.
Telling him not to yes. do it.
Damn.
You got to beat that Russian, Raw. Yeah.
So you were at All Black Theater for Raw?
Predominantly. I'd say 80%. Yeah, yeah. Yes. For Raw, yeah. And yeah. it was wild, dude. Damn, and we I were bet. In high school.
Because Eddie was like,
oh. He came when just when you saw him in the ridiculous leather suit and he yeah. came out, you're just like, oh my God. And you're it's you know, it's this fucking yeah. it's a movie screen, a massive and hundreds of people in there with and you know, it's so different to see a stand-up movie where everyone's loud and laughing and energy's bouncing off the walls versus Star Wars where we yeah. all kind of Everybody's yeah, shutting the fuck up. This is the opposite of that.
I just did that recently. So at the I think it's called the New Beverly, Quentin Tarantino's, the theater he bought on Beverly and like La Brea or whatever. So they did a night. It was Richard Pryor live in concert.
Yeah.
And then the next one was Eddie Murphy Raw.
Oh.
Now that was like the coolest way because I didn't get the experience that you had. So like it was like. Yeah, I didn't know how it was going to be in the movie theater. I've never watched a comedy special in a movie theater. It was so dope. And like Raw, we know what Raw is. But like Richard Pryor's...
1979. You don't need to tell me one bit. I mean, watch it yearly.
That,
and you know what? Every year we all get older and shit changes. And every year, that special's... It's so
dude,
on point.
I get chills thinking about it. It is.
How accurate is it?
It is so
all
accurate.
All the shit with the police.
Yes, the police.
All the shit with all of it.
And it's, like his level of vulnerability.
You
like,
can drop it today and it is relevant and current today.
Isn't that crazy?
1979.
Crazy.
I think it's the greatest stand-up special.
I was literally going to say it's the greatest special no of doubt. All time. It's number one. I will say that and I mean it with all my heart. That special was, he gave you Everything.
Made fun of his own heart attacks and
yes.
everything. And
oh, yeah. He was doing
the monkey and shit. Yeah,
the
monkeys, all of it. The German
boxing.
Shepherd.
Yes.
Yeah, the boxer. All
yes.
of it.
All
and
of
a guy
it.
Came up to take pictures and he still was like, sit the fuck down,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. He was like, he
so
was just
cool about
so
it.
Smooth about it.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. That like, and I'm telling you, like, when the pause breaks, what happened in the special, people were already doing it in the theater.
Yep.
That's what was crazy. Like he would do a joke and people were like, and then it was like literally matched.
It's timeless.
It's crazy.
It's incredible.
Incredible. That yeah. man was like on a different level. He was so open and like it really inspired me, especially with this Three Dads, Two Moms. Cause like a lot of it's like my life, you know what I mean? Like I'm talking about like my, you know, a lot of things in my life, you know, my anger issues, you know, having this different sets of family and trying to juggle that. And, you know, being the black dude that, you know, likes a bunch of white shit, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, and just like, and like that special just makes me want to open up more and more and yeah. more and more and more well, and just let it
and
all
as
out.
As a fan, like, we're going to get into your story here, but I'm going to keep talking about this. Let me just say this too again about these the time limit of these specials. I know purists and everything, it's an hour, my hour.
Yeah.
But look, I just saw, not just, it's been a minute, but Earthquake has a special out. And I want to say it's under 40 minutes. It might mm-hmm. be like a 30. It's so fucking good. I think Chappelle produced it.
Oh, this is recent. It was
not
like
that,
a few years
yeah,
ago.
Not
yeah,
that
yeah.
long ago. It's so fucking good. And I... Look, I leave wanting more because I love Earthquake, but also Earthquake didn't need to give me any more. That motherfucker
he
came in
saying,
and throwing
yeah,
haymakers.
You're right.
Though,
you're right. Bow, he, yeah, bow, he throws bow. Haymakers.
Nonstop. Funny and then when he gets on him, he rides yeah. him. And he rides him. And
yeah.
he's so good at tagging and jumping oh. on
it
and stuff.
And it's like
and
so,
it's so good.
Funny to where you're like, how did he think of that?
Yes. It's
yeah,
so
there's,
good.
There's a story. One of the door guys at the Comedy Store, he used to be a door guy, Matt Lockwood. He told me one time... there was a show going on in the main room. It was a sold out show, and they had brought Earthquake up. He goes, he could tell the crowd had no clue who Earthquake was, but he said he destroyed that room so hard. He goes to people who didn't even, they didn't know who he was, didn't know what he was about. They were just like, who's this guy? You know,
he and then he just absolutely one of the best. Murders.
Just set it on fire.
So if a guy like that is going to do it, yeah, and Chappelle's going to produce it, yeah, and they're not going to say, hey, my 38-minute special.
True.
Just start telling everybody you got a new special.
You got a new special. You don't, new special.
That's it.
Angry about it.
I know, right?
You're all right.
I'll say to the Pryor thing, too.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I love that special.
Tom Segura did the Long Beach Convention Center a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And he's like,
which is where he filmed that, right?
Yeah. And he's like, do you want to come work with him? And I was like, Tom, yes. Yeah. And not just because, like, that's where Pryor filmed. And I think he opened for, it was either Patti LaBelle or Aretha Franklin. Like,
they opened the show. It was Patti LaBelle. Patti LaBelle opened the show.
That's what I'm saying. He's going up after Patti LaBelle. I mean, that's another thing. Like, who the fuck wants to do that?
That's
who
crazy.
Wants to do that? Yeah.
Like following a musical act, like
a especially Hall of Famer. Yeah. Not a DJ. You know what I'm saying? Not some house music.
Yeah. Patti LaBelle.
I got a new attitude.
Right? Is that like LaBelle, right? Isn't it? She probably lit that crowd on fire.
Yes.
Probably lit them on fire.
Like Richard lit himself on
fire.
And he's the one that told that joke, the match and all that stuff.
Like, he told how he was shooting his car so his wife couldn't. Yeah.
It's so good, dude.
That was another thing, too. The way he portrayed certain things, the way he portrayed the dog and he gave them dialogue, mm-hmm, the way he portrayed the deer.
The dog's like, I'm still going to eat them.
Yeah, I'm still going to eat them. Yeah. Dude.
Life still sucks.
I'm like...
All of it's so good. It's timeless. Listen, if you've never seen it and you're a true stand-up fan,
you
1979,
have to see
Richard Pryor.
79.
Which means it was probably shot in 78 if they had to do, you know what I mean?
Like,
it'd be a little older. It's
little
crazy.
Older, yeah.
Yeah, he's the greatest. Mm-hmm. He's the greatest. All right. So leaning into your story, you said you relate to three dads, two moms.
Yeah.
We know your past is certainly mixed and split and everything, but recently we were talking before and you said your grandma passed.
Yeah, it's my grandma on my,
tell us.
I know, I gotta say which mom, my black mom,
biological mom. This is your biological grandma.
Biological grandma.
And did you have a close relationship with her at all?
So it was interesting. This was like a time where, like, you know, I lost someone. And, like, obviously I've known her since I was a kid. You know what I mean? Like, she's always been in my life, you know. But it was just interesting because, like, you know, I didn't feel anything. Which is crazy to say. You know what I mean? Hear me out before you. But why did you not feel anything? Anyways, sorry, I should be getting mad at shit. But anyways, it was the first time I didn't like feel that, and I felt bad that I didn't feel what one is supposed to feel in that situation.
Well, let's start here with this. Was this something you knew that was coming? Had she been sick for a long time?
Yeah,
it was sort of expected.
I think it was stomach cancer is what she had.
And did you maybe process the grieving already and it was more of a relief that she was out of pain and stuff?
You know what it was? No.
I'm trying to help.
No, you're trying to help her out. No. You know, it's because I didn't get I'm telling you, this woman's been in my life, you know, my whole life, and I've been trying, and I'm still in like the area of like processing all of it, because I need to, like, I'm one of those, you know, ever since Chip, you know, I just like dig to find the root of it all and like find where I can be at peace with it, right? You know, because I feel like guilty that I didn't feel anything, but I think it was just because I didn't get to like learn about her, and you know, this before, like, you know, being adopted into the white family, but like I didn't get this thing of her that, you know, you would get from a grandma. You know what I mean?
I want to ask you this. Why didn't she take you?
Why didn't she take me?
Mm-hmm.
Hell no, I wasn't going there. What you talking about?
To your mom's mom?
Never.
Why?
It just wasn't that relationship.
No.
There's just no way.
She never wanted to step up and say, hey.
You know what? So, she did struggle with like addiction for a bit. You know what I mean? Like she drank like a lot and stuff like that. That was like a big thing of hers. You know,
stomach cancer?
No, because she stopped drinking. She stopped drinking like later on in life. You know what I mean? I want to say before she passed, probably like maybe she stopped in like 2013 or 2014 or something like that or whatever. So she had stopped drinking, but like, I mean, she did spend, like, I remember when she would, because there was a point in time where she like lived with us, right? And she would get off work, and I remember that she would
What'd
get
she
these,
do?
I can't remember. She worked for Motorola. She's okay. Working. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember?
Yeah, razors. Yeah. Razors ran yeah. our life for
yeah,
a while.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she used to work for like the Motorola like building, like headquarters or whatever. But when she would get off work, she would come home and she'd have a tall can of like Ice House. And then this like this little thing of pop off vodka. Remember that pop off that yeah. you can get it at like Circle K or whatever, like the corner store or whatever. And she would just, but like,
I didn't she'd see chase it or that she'd add it.
No, nah, this would be her shit. Both of them.
Boom,
let's
boom.
Go. Yep. And then she'd go to sleep.
And Ice House had more alcohol than the like light beers.
Yeah,
did.
Exactly.
That was the thing. Yeah.
yeah. You know, and so, you know, I think the thing was, is like, you know, there was just like we. I never got to connect with her because there was this disconnect of like seeing so her.
Even
do,
though she's in the house, she had a routine
yeah,
and it,
yeah. and
it
she,
kept
and,
her away
and
from
here's
it.
The thing,
an
she was
addiction
always,
she had.
Yeah, she was always nice to me, and I was always nice to her.
She wasn't like, huggy or lovey dovey.
You know,
never took you out one on one. Like, hey, let's go do something
not
together.
That I can remember. Man, I remember one time though, she used to date this one dude. I remember he spanked me and my brother one
what?
Time. Yeah, bro.
Hold up,
bro. I remember
grandma let a dude come in the house and put hands on her grandchildren,
bro.
Oh, my grandmother would have shot people.
Hey, James, if you out there, I'm kicking you in your chest, bro.
Fuck you, James.
Seriously, man.
Put your hands on.
Because this was like when I was a kid. Me and my brother.
But wait, what'd y'all do?
What we do? No, we were they let us go play outside, but we just went a little further. We can still see the house. We just went a little further away from the house, you know, but you can still see it. And then he got mad and he spanked me and my brother with a belt. Man, I'd never forget that.
A belt, too?
Yeah, he did.
What?
Man, I hope he's still alive.
Who went first?
No, he attacked both of us.
Same time?
Yeah, he was, you know, he just came like, it was like it was nunchucks or whatever. You know, he had that Bruce Lee in him. Just, you know.
And your grandma let him do that shit?
Yeah, she did. But those were the days. You
man,
know?
I'll tell you, they that, were, that was but like, also, I'm older than you. I will yeah. never forget one time. My mom took us to like a friend of hers house, and they had kids that were all older than us. The youngest one was maybe 2 years older than us, and then it got older from there. They were already in like high school when we were in middle school.
Yeah.
And my mom's walking past their stepfather.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, if my kids don't listen, feel free to hit them. Right? And I'm looking, and this dude looked at us, and he looked at her, and he said, I'm not hitting your kids, Judy. I've never forgot that. But she was dead serious.
She was dead
serious. She was like, I'm just fucking around. She was just like, if they don't listen, hit him. He's like, he's watering his lawn. And she's like, I
hit your kids,
dude.
Yeah. But James, I never, I remember that day so clearly, too. I said, we didn't even go that far. But anyways, so, I think there was just such a strong disconnect. And I you know, like, and she passed in January. I went to her funeral and stuff, you know, and, you know, I've seen these like younger pictures of her, you know, like she was gorgeous, you know, gorgeous woman. And I'm just looking at these pictures and I'm just like, man, I feel bad that I didn't get to like get that. You know what I mean? Like I have this weird, I don't know why I have this like weird guilt to it, you know, like, you know, and I'm trying to find like this balance of like understanding like how to like, you know, come at peace with that. You know what I mean? Because it's one thing that like I feel bad.
Well, that's what I want to talk about, because I'm no therapist or anybody. But also, you have to remember this, and I have to remember this myself too. Like, you were a kid.
Yeah,
you were a kid. The responsibility shouldn't have been on our shoulders, but it was.
For sure.
So you carry the responsibility of like, how did I fail that? What could I have done differently now that you're older?
Yeah.
But the truth is nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, yeah.
And also, if you're going to get whooped with a belt, y'all should have gone to the lake fishing and shit. You know what I mean? Not just off the property attack.
I know. Yeah. We could have done way worse.
Way worse, man.
Me and my brother, we were crazy.
You could have took your bikes and shit.
Yeah, we could have done so much worse. Man, I want to suck that dude in the face.
Was he at the funeral?
No, I haven't seen him in years. I ain't seen him in a long time. Every time he would come through, you know, I think he was with my grandma for like, I don't know how many years. But, you know, every time he'd come through, I'd still be mean mugging him as
a kid.
Yeah. I'm like, bro, what are you looking at? I can't wait till your hip breaks.
That's when I'm gonna rain elbows on you.
You got a new hip? Yeah, not as good as that other one, huh?
How's that titanium hip, right?
And my brother loved wrestling.
Just fucking him up, man. Old man now. He's all sad, pathetic. Yeah, I'm all like,
let's run it back. That was a funny thing. When, I tell you, this is funny. So my stepdad, I used to be terrified of that man. I used to be terrified of my stepdad so bad. Because, I mean, he was crazy, And I remember, there was one day I was, this is like when I was like getting reconnected back with my biological mom or whatever, and they were still together partially, they were on their way out of their relationship, and I just remember sitting at her house looking at Jerry and I'm looking at him, I'm like, oh, so you've been 5'5" this whole time?
Okay.
I was like, I'm 220, what's good?
You might be a little Tasmanian devil.
Yeah, I was like, come on
now. You
gotta
be careful, those little guys.
But it was just so crazy. You never think about that, because when I'm a kid, like, he's like the biggest thing in the world to me.
Everything's bigger back then. You go back to an old house and you walk through, like, this is so much smaller.
It's so much smaller than I remember. And then, seeing him sit there, and I'm like, this is the dude that was running it on me? I'm like, bro, let's run it back.
Just 3-point stance. Yeah, right. You just got to do it respectfully. You got to be like, let's all go play some football in the yard. You know what I mean? Put that shoulder in that chin.
No, it was crazy. My stepdad, he's short, but he was really good. He was really good at basketball. That was what
I remember
he was
you saying that. Yeah, he was good. Yeah.
Breakdancing and basketball.
He's Prince. He's like Prince.
Seriously. And they got the same skin tone, which is funny. And the same like curly hair or whatever. He's the GOAT, though. I love him. He's the GOAT. But it was just funny seeing him and realizing like how short he was. I'm like, man.
Let's go back to guilt. What is it you feel guilty about? Is guilt really the right feeling? Do you know if that really is accurate?
If it's guilt or whatever, but like, I feel guilty that I don't, that I didn't feel anything. You know what I mean? Like, I remember when my mom told me about it or whatever, and called me that day, I was just like, I was like, am I dead on the inside? You know what I mean? Sometimes I'd be thinking that, but sometimes it's like there's a deeper, reasoning as to why. It's not like I'm trying to feel that way.
Well, if you were dead on the inside, you wouldn't be searching for all these answers and shit. You would just accept it and zombie through life.
Exactly.
You wouldn't wonder one bit about, what's this doing to me? Not even one level lower. You just all fucking drugged out.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense because this is why I feel like you just made me realize something. It's because like whenever I did like all my anger outbursts and anything that I did to people, I never felt bad afterwards. Like all the things I did. When I swung on those teachers, so? Do something about it. I just never felt bad about the things I like did to people. You know what I mean? Because everything I thought, I thought that was like, they deserved it. Yeah, they made me mad.
Do you feel bad about it? Or do you just look back at it?
Some of that shit I don't.
Yeah.
But
a lot of
the things, yes, 1,000%. I do feel bad for like a lot of the things that I did to people back in the day. But like, like I said, some of those things, they're gonna have to see me again. But anyways, so I think knowing that and like having that kind of like where I never felt bad about the things that I did to people. And then like having this feeling where I don't feel bad about this, it makes me like, I think it just triggers back to like that time when I didn't feel bad about the things, if that makes sense, So I think that's why it's like playing with my head so much, And here's the thing, like I never looked at her like crazy or whatever, like she was lame or something like that. It was just like nothing. You know what I mean? But this is my blood.
Roommate.
Yeah. Mm. You know what I mean? But this is like my blood. You know what I mean? And she always said, nice things or whatever, but I felt bad that I didn't get the relationship that I, would have wanted to, I feel that with, grandparents, I didn't even know my biological dad's grandparents, but I know, from what I remember, they would like bring me and my brother like toys and stuff or whatever on my father's behalf, but but I didn't get to know them. So like, you know, being at that grandma's funeral, I didn't feel anything either. You know what I mean? So I'm like, you know, just trying not to, I don't want to feel dead on the inside. You know what I mean?
Well, let me ask you this. The White family that took you in, are they all alive and well?
Yeah.
If any of them passed away right now, do you think you'd be pretty fucking upset at their funeral?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just because the way that relationship worked out. You know what I mean? I think it's just because that was, I want to say that was the first time I ever felt like what a family was. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not that I was searching like, what does family feel like? I thought what I was living in was just, this is life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, it is your life.
It is. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, yes. this is what my life is. So seeing this side of like, you know, we, you know, you encourage each other. You're saying nice things about it. You know, you're just taking care of each other. There's this like level of comfort. You want everyone in the house to feel good. And, you know, like that, I'd like, you know, being adopted into, you know, with my white folk, that's what like the feeling I got. So I think I would, you know, whereas like where I came from previously, I didn't feel that, you know what I mean? Like, and I try to explain like a lot of this stuff in my stand-up, but the thing is like over time I've been able to like, you know, have love for, you know, this part of the family, you know, I've been able to like feel that and stuff like that, you know, and a little bit more.
How old are you now?
38.
Yeah, bro. You got a minute. Here's what I think.
But I love these conversations. Always good insight.
I think it's about the connection you have with that person, whatever that is.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's times where you also cry or you mourn what could have been, mm-hmm. what should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the this person dying, but this whole relationship that should have gone another way, could have gone another
for
way.
For sure, yeah.
But you're left here to deal with that. Mm-hmm. They're gone. And in the time, they had all that time to make that also work.
For sure. I guess it does.
It goes both ways.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
But when it's two adults, that's one thing. When it's an adult and a child, it's on that adult to initiate. Especially if you're in the fucking house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, my grandma lived with us. My mom's mom lived with us for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And she was not lovey-dovey. You know what I mean? But she was also there. But she was, then she stepped up. It wasn't until shit went down in the family where she stepped up. And she's like, no. That. Your mom's wrong. Your dad's right, and your kids are right. And I was like, "Oh shit, mom's telling me."
Yeah.
So, I think it's really about that connection with someone you have, and who no matter who it is.
Yeah.
Is there someone who's the closest person in your life? If they died to you, would you be sad?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, 1,000%. I guess.
But I don't think that applies across the board to every single person in our life. Some of them, you're like, that's a damn shame. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you mean it.
Yeah.
It's not like they were a dick. Yeah. Like, oh, that sucks, man. Yeah. He's gone. Oh, yeah. Man. That
but
sucks.
But like, like I said, they had this montage of pictures of her at the funeral, and I was like, man, I wish I could have known that lady. I wish I got to like know that mm-hmm. person right there. You know, I wish I got to.
Did anyone? Did they get up and speak? Did you hear things you never heard about?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I did. And I was just like, wow, like this is what I felt like I missed out on.
Would you hear that would you learn about her you didn't know?
Just like her presence and like, you know, she was such a big ball of energy towards a lot of people. A lot of people spoke.
You're like, not in this house.
Yeah. I was just like.
Y'all must have got that.
Yeah, I was like. She was on that ice house in Pawpaw when I saw her. I mean,
just chilling.
You know what I mean? I'm like, Grandma, what that taste like? You know, shit. She gave me one sip.
Did
no,
she?
No.
Very excited to have Cure Hydration as a sponsor here on the Honeydew. This is my favorite flavor right here. This is lemonade. We keep them here at the studio. And as somebody with a blood disease, hydration is paramount. So. Just pour that right in there, a little stir it up, have some lemonade, man. It's the perfect way to start your day. Whether you need a morning boost Whether you need electrolytes for your workout or something to keep you going during the day, Cure fits into any routine. That's delicious. Lemonade's my favorite. It is made with high-quality ingredients like coconut water powder and pink Himalayan salt, and Cure is the only hydration brand that is FSA eligible. Hydration goes beyond just drinking water. It's about replenishing the electrolytes we lose through sweat, sleep, alcohol, and daily activities. Water alone isn't enough to do the job. That's why you need to try Cure, the electrolyte drink mix that tastes as amazing as it makes you feel. For Honeydew listeners, Cure is offering 20% off your first order. Stay hydrated and feel your best by visiting curehydration.com/honeydew and using promo code honeydew at checkout. That's curehydration.com/honeydew and use code honeydew for 20% off your first order. Delicious. Now, let's get back to the dip.
But there was a point in time where I felt guilt in a lot of areas, you know, like when I was adopted into the family, you know, I felt guilt that my siblings were still in that household. You know what I mean? I felt guilt on a weird, like, black level that I'm like, I live with white people. You know what I mean? Like, I felt this, like, you know, I felt like
imposter,
you know, I was like, Malcolm X gonna come after me. You know what I mean? The white man. No, I'm just kidding. But I felt that, like, in all these areas. So yeah, like, I think, you know, at times I do still feel that in the weirdest ways, and, you know, trying to, like, dissect that, you know, like everyone thinks I walk around life so smoothly, and for the most part I do, but there's a lot of things that I do, you know, I feel like I still struggle with, you know, family wise, you know, and I've gotten better about it. And, you know, doing this comedy special, Three Dads, Two Moms, you know, was like, I talked about things that I thought I would never, ever talk about as a stand-up comedian.
Like,
you
what?
Know what I mean? I never wanted to express that I was, like, living with a white family.
Why?
It was just like, you know, because it wasn't my family. I wasn't born into that family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but also I didn't want to express the things about, like, where I came from. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I felt like I was, not that it was like a judgment thing. It was just like, I just didn't feel comfortable expressing that. You know what I mean? So it took me a little bit to, like, you know, it's like, how do you find the funny in that? You know, because it was all of it was a weird time for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's also an angry man who's got to be completely vulnerable.
Yeah.
To a crowd of people who are 100% going to be judgmental, good or bad.
Good or bad. Yeah. You know, good or bad, you know, and
look at you letting your shoulders down over the years.
Over the years.
It ain't easy.
You know,
my suggestion, one at a time.
Listen, I'll tell you.
Keep one up, Chappelle.
Man,
if I could go back and tell myself I wouldn't both equally drop them like this, I'd have still
Listen, I'm doing better with the family, and, like, I don't have, like, no anger towards them, but, like, man, there's still people I see that I grew up with, and they'll run into me, they'll be like, man, it's so good seeing you killing it. I'm like, oh, man, I appreciate that. And I'm always like, in the back of my head, I'm like, remember what you said to me in sixth grade?
Yeah.
Because I remember that shit.
You egged my house, motherfucker.
I've been thinking that shit all
the
time.
Stole my radio.
I'm like, man, you really talk to me so crazy. I should beat your ass right now. But, you know, I feel like I am getting better. You know what I mean?
You are. And the success is the old, that's the new version of whipping their ass.
Yeah, yes.
Your success is you can't be putting hands on people anymore. You're almost 40. You can't be fist fighting in your 30s and 40s unless it's for real self-defense. You can't just be what'd you say? You can't be doing that shit.
And I've been doing pretty good, you know.
You can't be doing that.
There are, but I just feel it. It's like, that's the initial feeling. So
yes,
so like my it like is. Whenever it's I'm at a like a you know something happens out of pocket, my initial feeling is I'm already dissecting how I'm gonna beat their ass. I'm already dissecting like the type of things I want to do to that person. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it takes me forever. Like you know, it took me longer back in the day. Now it takes a little bit, but it takes me a bit to like get that out of my head. You know what I mean? Because I just feel it. And I know I'm not the only person. At first, I thought I was. You know what I mean? I know I'm not the only person, which makes me not feel as crazy that a lot of people connect with that, because, you know, I do have that feeling. You know, like, I mean, the hate I had for my stepdad, the hate was just so strong, you know? And I'm glad I took the time to learn and educate myself about who that man was. And it's like, here's his past. Here's what he went through. And then you're like, oh my God, you that word empathy, you know, that's what I realized in Pryor's special. Like, in order for him to do all the things that there's a level of empathy you have to have as a human, you know what I mean? And he had that. And so I think about that, like, as I'm like putting these jokes out and like writing these things, like, you know, like my dad went back to prison recently.
He did? For what? Which dad? Which of the three?
Which of the white three? Dad this time? No, I'm just kidding. Everyone is a white dad, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I did what? And I'm just kidding. I never did that. And I'm just kidding. No, my biological dad, the one that's been in and out, like, you know, and it was for some old shit or whatever that he got caught up on or whatever, you know. But like he's been doing good. He's been doing good. Like, he had been out for, like, prior to this recent time going in, he had been out like 16 years or whatever. So he had a good run, but I felt like he had one more in him. But he found church, he found God, and he found like this, like, you know, beautiful wife, and, you know, he's super grounded and stuff like that. And, you know, as he's moving forward in life and pushing himself, at, you know, this old thing just had to resurface or whatever and got him. And, you know, but he, you know, he said something really cool. You know, he goes, I feel like this is like a test of, like, you know, are you really trying to make yourself better? You know what I mean? Like, he's taking it in such a positive way, instead of like a way of like, you know, now I'm back to that life. You know, now I'm back to, like, you know, like, it's not making him feel like he's gone backwards, you know, as much as, like, you know, he goes, this is like a lesson. This is a thing. And it's like, you know, and it's like, okay, do you really want to stay on this path, or you want to go back to your old self, you know? And cause he's been calling me, you know, while he's been in there, and he's been speaking very, you know, such positive ways, you know what I mean? And, but yeah. And he goes, you've been doing jokes about me going back to prison. I said, you fucked up. Yeah. I was like, I got a ton, you know what I mean? But it's cool with it. You know, I'm not like making him feel bad or whatever, which is funny. But, you know, but yeah, being an adult, like, you know, I'm 38, you know, cause I only knew him to be in prison. Like, that's what I knew of him. But before I even know who he was and knew I had a father, like, I just didn't know. And then, like, so prison, and then he's in prison or whatever, you know, but knowing him now, like, you know, reconnecting like 7 or 8 years ago, and then him going back, you know, that's like a, you know, and like, I'm juggling these kind of like emotions with that. Cause it's like, okay, is he just going to be that guy, or is he trying to be a better guy? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I, you know, through talking to him, hearing his story and hearing what it is, he is trying to be a better guy. You know, it's just some shit that just, old shit just resurfaced. You know what I mean?
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or Jeff Weiler, ColumbusAutoMall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta have it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
But what you're doing, though, is breaking cycles. Like, that generation of guys didn't think beyond just themselves. You're trying to be like, okay, I need to figure this out for me. And also, let me understand why he was that way. They never did that shit.
Yeah.
They never did that shit. So it's on us now to break the cycle, because you don't want to continue to be like that. You don't want to, because right now you could 100% fall in line with the way your father was. You could be an angry man that's in and out of jail.
I'm not fit to be a gangster, I'll tell you that much. I was a cheerleader.
with no parents from 16 on, could easily be a drug addict, whatever, dead by now, whatever.
For sure.
Easily. But we decided we didn't want that, and we've moved forward. And then with that comes like, all right, I'm good. Why the fuck did all that happen? And then you start diving into these people who brought you up, and you're like, oh my God, they had kids when they were this age, and they were this, and the puzzle starts to make a little more fucking sense.
And people don't realize, like, it's actually very tough, because, you know, I've been reading a lot of James Baldwin, and in one of his books, he says this line that just really hit me. He goes, parents lift up the world for their children. You know, and I saw this image of like a parent holding up the world and their child being under them. And basically the parent like explaining like, you know, this is this, this, and this. And that is a very true thing. So like whether they're telling you, you know, showing you the good side of the world or the bad side of the world, like they do lift up the world for you. So like my idea of the world, you know, was through the, like as a kid, was through the lens of my stepfather and my mom. And then all of a sudden my adoptive folks and then biological father, like I'm learning, you know, these things of the world through them. I'm like, what is this world? You know what I mean? And so, yeah, like, and it makes you go, how do I figure this out? Well, like, none of this makes any sense. You know what I mean? Like, how do I have a dad, but he's in prison? That was me as a kid thinking that. I was like, how do I have a dad, but he's locked up? How? You know what I mean? Like, how does that come about? And, you know, and, you know, I was told my stepdad was my dad, but I never called him dad. You know, I always called him by his name. And then, you know, like it's just it messes with a person's brain. And you know, it is not an easy thing to break that kind of cycle. You know what I mean? I think the best way that I've been able to do it is through education. You know what I mean? I think education, you know, and I'm not talking about like, you know, reading a book in school, you know, it's like reading a book about, you know, or just learning about life and other people's lives and understanding what other people go through and having, you know, if you don't have that empathy, then that's what makes you dead inside.
Yes.
You know what I mean? If you don't understand the level of empathy of like, man, hey, this like kid, you know, he's going through this right now. You know, you think this kid's acting up in class right now, but you know, what's going on? What's going on at home?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, when I used to coach cheerleading, you know, and whenever a kid was like trying to get a new skill, they were trying to get a back handspring or something, but they would struggle with it. They would have these mental blocks. They'd be terrified. And I always realized there was something deeper than that. It was something that was going on at home. You know what I mean? Because it's like, why can't this kid learn this? You know what I mean? Why can't this kid understand that? What is being taught to them outside of this world, outside of the world of cheerleading, that is making them come into the world of cheerleading? And it's like me with school. You know what I mean? Like, I was doing terrible. I was acting up, but no one ever asked, what's going on at home? You all right? Are you in a safe space? You know? And here's the thing. I didn't even get to understand that until I was in my 20s. You know what I mean? That was on second anger management teacher. Yes, second. You know what I mean? So second anger management teacher is when I'm learning what my life is. I'm like, this is really my life? I was like, man, that's scary. I was scary. I was embarrassed, you know, and it just made me like, you know, for a little bit, it just made me want to like, you know, just, you know, shove it all down and stuff like that. And, you know, but luckily through the wonderful world of anger management and them helping me out, they helped me understand like how, like, okay, but here's what you're going to do with it. You know, you're good. You're okay. You're in a safe space now, but here's what you're going to do with it. You know what I mean? So, but like I said, I still have my struggles.
I don't know if this is a popular opinion or an unpopular opinion, but for people like us, I firmly believe that that chip on our shoulder is what got us where we are. Mm-hmm. I think that we're wired to be like, huh?
One of those.
We're wired for that.
Wired.
What?
One of those. Just not immediately.
Like, is that guy talking to me? Is he really? Mean? Not like right away. That's like the
immediately.
We're reactive people instead of, you know, think first and breathe and then let.
And
we're going to react.
We're going to react.
And then we're going to be like, everything
is reaction. Yeah,
okay. All right.
You did this. I'm reacting immediately. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, but that anger and that chip on your shoulder also has protected you all this time. It's got you where you are. So it's hard to let it go. You got to, over the years, you got to, you know, taper it down. You have to. That anger, that what the fuck, that shit is, it's a killer for everything. It's a killer for your energy, relationships, all that. That angry fucking person.
Man, you know how many books I'll be reading at once because I'll be so angry? I'm not reading a book.
Yeah, right. Read somebody goddamn book.
Yeah, right. Reading so many things. Like, I'll just read.
There's a book called You're Reading Too Much.
Yeah, right. Check that out. I when things make me mad now, I really just try to like read a book, read something that like gives you some insight on how to like, you know, loosen this tension. You know what I mean? Like, that's like that. My biggest thing is reading and journaling. Obviously, I think you know that part. But if I didn't have books, man, y'all be in trouble.
Do you want kids?
Well, I'll be in trouble. Do I want kids? Nah, I don't know.
And I'm not, no judgment. When you say no, is it because you just don't want kids? Are you worried about bringing a kid up in sort of the way you grew up? Are you worried that you won't be a good parent? Are you worried that you'll be like your parents? I was worried about being like my mom when I had a kid. Then I was like, of course I love my kid. What the fuck's my
relationship? Yeah. Oh, you know what, man? I guess I don't know. I guess I'm kind of 50-50 with it. Like, you know, with having a kid and stuff like that. I mean, you know, I do think I'd be the best that I could be. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I said no at first, but now I'm thinking, I don't know. You know, I don't know.
If a girl came to you right now and said, hey, I'm pregnant, it's yours. Are you all in on this?
I'm celibate.
Are you all in on it?
I'm celibate.
All that's going to get you is 100 DMs.
She came to me and says, yeah, then I'll take action for sure.
I'm saying, would you lean into being a dad and all that stuff?
Yeah. I'd make it dope.
I'd make it dope. Have you had a conversation with your mom about your grandma, her mom passing?
No.
No? Did you see her at the, was everyone at the funeral?
Everyone was there, yeah.
And you didn't talk about that?
Mm-mm.
Did she cry?
Yeah.
She was emotional.
Yeah, she was emotional.
Were they close?
Yeah. They were, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They live like down the street from each other. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's always been around and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, maybe that's what I need to do. You know, like I had, you know, the way I learned about my stepdad was, you know, through my mom telling me that, you know, these more in-depth things about him.
You mean how you learned his history and all that?
Yeah.
It was through your mom?
Mm-hmm.
It was.
Because I was just like, yeah, tell me about him. I was like, what is his story? Because I didn't know his origin story at all. I just knew what he was in those moments. You know what I mean? That's all I knew about him. So maybe that's where I, you know, get the education on my grandma and like her origins and what it was for her, you know, because, yeah, I don't go to, like, the family reunions or anything like that.
They have
one?
To...
Oh, yeah, they have one, like, this past weekend.
Why
yeah.
don't you go?
I don't know. I don't know.
What do you would not want to...
I don't know.
Listen, I used to be the same way. That shit shifted in my 40s. And I'm like, I'm fucking rolling up in this bitch. Y'all don't like me. I'm out. I got keys. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got keys.
I'm not the same 16-year-old anymore. I got keys.
Yeah, bro. Right. I can drive, man. I can get right, my car right there.
I get right the fuck out. It's right there. It's me. Right there. I pull right up front. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's
Are there people that will be there, you know, that will be there that you don't even want to deal with? Is that part of it? Or... are you just feel like weird? Does that feel uncomfortable?
I think it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. For sure uncomfortable. You know, because I don't know.
Is it mom's side of the family or mm-hmm. dad's?
Yeah, it was my mom's side of the family. Yeah.
And is it a big family?
Yeah, but my dad's side of my biological dad's, they do the family reunion thing too. They both do them, but I don't know.
They do big ones.
Because also, I'm still getting to learn like a lot of people, especially on my dad's side.
Stay off that 23andMe.
You know, right? That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I'm not even touching it. I don't want to know.
Stay off of that.
You know, like, I'm still learning. Like,
you got 9 new brothers and shit. Yeah, exactly. Like, come on, man. What are y'all doing out there?
I don't want to know. I don't want to know at all. I don't want to know. Yeah. I was like, listen, man, they already got me fucked up. You know, so I was like, I don't need anything else, just let me have this right now. This is great. You know, this is, you know, because, man, they've thrown a lot of curveballs at me. I mean, you know, the thing was, is like my family always kept secrets from me.
That's the other thing I was about to say. When you go to those family reunions, that's when you do hear shit. You're like, yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Y'all didn't know that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you're like, what? Yeah. And then it's old hat.
The thing was, like, everyone knew I had a dad but me.
At the family reunion or growing up?
Growing up.
Until when?
My brother, I didn't learn about him until I think I was like 10 or 11.
The whole family was able not to slip up? Yep. Not a cousin or anybody? No one. That's crazy.
No one.
That's the odds of that are crazy.
Crazy. Crazy.
Now, once you found out, that's when the reunion started. All right, everybody.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I, you know, my brother knew who he was. You know, my sister, everybody in the family knew, but I had no clue. It's crazy. I don't know why. And they do that a lot with me. You know, they do that a lot where they just continue to keep like things away from me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the secrets and stuff like that.
Oh.
I think it, you know.
That was I asked
I did ask my mom why. You know what I mean? She was just like, she said, what did she say? She said, it's because the way you were treated, you know, and you were already going through such hard stuff with the relationship with my stepdad, you know, and so that whole business. So to throw more on me, she just didn't want to. You know what I mean? Which I guess I understand that. I don't know.
I can't tell you how many times my grandma would say, "We'll tell you when you're older."
Yeah.
And then at 16, they all died. And I'm like,
yeah.
Who's telling us now?
Where the information at?
Tell them. Tell them. You died with that shit.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah, I know.
It's always that. I know they're doing it to protect you or whatever, but
yeah,
man,
I think,
are they leaving you with some fucking problems. Well,
that's what I had to realize. The one thing I had to realize is that at the end of the day, I think they were doing the best that they could do with what they had. You know what I mean? I don't know if my dad was like, you know, wanted a drug dealer, but I think he just saw a way he made quick money. You know what I mean? And, you know, he's like, oh, I can buy this for my family. I can buy this for my family. I can buy that. You know what I mean? My stepdad, you know, if I had to narrow it down, I just think he didn't have a dad in his life. So he was just like, okay, I need to be, you know, what he thought he was doing was the best. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like what my mom was doing, she thought was the best. I think they all thought that, you know. And so it's like, can I, you know, blame them for that? They were only going off what they knew. You know, I'd probably be the same if I didn't educate myself, if I didn't get the, you know, the knowledge that I have now. You know, I'd probably be.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Yeah. That's where it drops on this cycle,
mm-hmm.
this generation for you.
Yeah.
Is you starting this bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, you have a kid and your grandson's probably going to be a wonderful young man. If it keeps going. He's going to
be a scholar. He'll be a scholar.
It might be my great-grandson. Yeah, right. Just get this anger out of my ass.
Exactly, you know? I don't know. I guess, like, as far as the kid thing goes, yeah, I would love to pass down this knowledge to a seed. That would be dope.
Or at least, do you big brother? Do you mentor or anything like that?
Yeah, my best friend's kid, who passed away in like 2009, his son. Yeah, I give a lot of love and a lot of
good
knowledge to
somebody
him.
Needs it. Yeah, don't just keep that shit to yourself. Went through all this bullshit. I know, right? It'd be a waste just to keep it to yourself.
You know, but yeah, I do try to deliver it out there for sure, you know. And, you know, I mean, oddly enough, you know, I will have like a ton of people that'll just like reach out to me, asking me questions on like how to be better, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, there's nothing I can physically do for you other than like show you the things that like I've, you know, these foundational things that I have learned that can kind of just, you can use for the rest of your life. You know, I have that kind of knowledge. But yeah, with my best friend's kid, you know, he's 18. He just joined the Air Force or whatever. I think finished his what do you call it, basic, mm-hmm. or something basic like that. Training. Yeah, just finished his basic and stuff like that. And you know, he didn't get to know his. He was 3 years old when his dad had died. Mm-hmm. So you know, but he'll always ask me like, "Tell me a story about my dad." You know, and I'll tell him stories about his dad. And you know, I try to give him as much life advice as I can. And his grandpa is really good in his life. His grandpa was in the Air Force, which is why he mm-hmm. you know wanted to go to the Air Force and. You know, make his granddaddy proud and stuff like that. You know, he's doing really good. You know, he's doing really good. But I think when his dad had died, I just immediately thought of his son immediately. It was just like, that's, you know, that's a baby. You know, he don't have his dad. You know what I mean? And, you know, and I'm over here with three dads.
You got three of them.
Man, I got one for you, dog. You know what I mean? Like, but it's cool to teach him, you know, and, you know, and kind of guide them as best as I can, you know, with just life. You know what I mean? And you know, he's smarter than me. Books, all that, bro, don't even ask me. You know, he got all that. You know, he can have that. Mm-hmm. I'll let him have mm-hmm. that. But like, as far as like, you know, just life and just how to roll with it and roll through it, you know, because, yeah, there's got to be something there, you know, because I know what it feels like to be left out of something that you don't know that is a part of your life. And he didn't get to know his dad. So there's this thing of like this frustration where you don't get to know, you know what I mean? And you're like trying to know. So I try to give as much information about his father as I can.
That's great. I
mean? Yeah.
All right. I wish we did family reunions. Ours were, unfortunately, it was funerals.
Right?
It was one a year.
Everybody
minimum,
there.
And we'd all be there. You know what
everybody.
I mean?
Like,
hey, how you doing? It was never, let's go fucking play games.
Yeah,
and shit.
Like, I know.
Hey, man, how you believe? There's another one, man.
Shit. Yeah. White people do family reunions, right?
I know black people do it way more than white people do it. Way more. Y'all get shirts. Y'all
yeah,
get
shirts.
Bad.
Yeah.
Y'all got the shirt, the Lacey family.
Yes.
White people, I don't know why. We don't do it as much.
Man.
I don't know. They don't do it as much.
That is so funny, man. You know, shit.
Oh, bro. I used to go to the park with my daughter all the time. I was king of the parks are free. You know what I mean?
The parks are free.
I mean, the parks over here, I'm like, there's another family.
Yeah, right.
They stay, but they show up, though.
They show up, and
there's
a
bunch of them showing up. Yes.
That's so funny.
I've told this story a bunch, but I'll tell you quickly just because it relates. You'll laugh at this. I've only been to one family reunion, and it was by accident. I happened to be back in Baltimore visiting family, and my Aunt Marguerite, my great aunt, my grandmom's sister, they're all dead at this time. She's like, hey, you know, there's a family reunion tomorrow up in New Jersey, in Trenton, New Jersey. I'm like, nah. She goes, yeah, we're going. Why don't you just come with us?
Yeah.
I go, nah, you got an RSVP. She's like, just come with us. I said, okay. So we all roll up and it's outside at this fucking park. There's maybe 25 people. It ain't a lot.
Really?
It may be less. And there's no shirts. It's humid as fuck. There's a mall right next door. We halfway through, I was like, man, it's too hot. We all went into the mall to cool off.
Uh-huh.
It was miserable. We come back and then they're doing like prizes.
Yes.
And they're like, I don't know, the oldest person here. Who's the oldest relative? Hey, whatever.
They're playing games?
Yeah.
Like that?
Like awards, like trophies. Not games, but shit like that, right?
Bro, I ain't never heard of no awards at no family reunion. Y'all don't see each other often.
Wait to hear this.
Oh, no.
So somebody says, okay, and the award for the person who traveled the farthest is, you know, Lindsay from Texas. And my Aunt Margaret goes, California, right here. Well, remember, I didn't RSVP. And they're like, what? She's like, he came from California. Like, did you? I go, yeah. And they come over and they're like, okay. And they tentatively give me this trophy. Like, here you go, right? And she's like, look at that. So they keep doing whatever. At the end of the reunion, they come over to me and they say, hey, could we get the trophy? We'd like to engrave it for you and send it to you. And I said, yeah, sure. And I never saw that motherfucker.
Never saw it again. Because it went back to Lindsay. That's where it went.
It did, of course.
Lindsay, if you out there, yeah, enjoy that trophy.
It went to her ass.
Because you know he won.
That's the only time I've been to a family reunion. I ain't going to another.
Yeah. Okay. He said 25 people out of him.
They fucking took my trophy, bro.
Yeah, we just want to engrave it.
Chappelle Lacey, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me,
man.
This is always fun.
I love talking to you.
This is always fun.
Thank you. And one more time, promote all of it.
Oh,
please.
Yeah. So, I got it right now. I got you right now. Hold on. I will be everywhere. World tour. No, I'm just kidding. No. So I'll be in San Fran, May 21st. Sacramento, May 22nd, Columbus, 7/12, and then Virginia Beach and Richmond, June 11th and 12th. And then there's more tour dates that are coming.
So. Say where you can find all your dates.
All my dates, ChappelleLacey.com.
Your special.
My special, Three Dads, Two Moms, on YouTube through Don't Tell Comedy. If you just type in Three Dads, Two Moms, it is the first
thing. I'm going to say it's probably the only thing in there.
It's the only thing that pops up. So watch it, enjoy it, and I'm working on new stuff, and I'm excited about all that. Everything ChappelleLacey.com. Chappelle AC on Instagram. I don't do all the other stuff, but yeah. So,
congrats, brother.
Yeah, thank you.
Congrats.
Thank you.
As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.